Will you take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke? The Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, and follow as I read verses 5 to 10. Jesus said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. To him that knocketh, it shall be opened. May God add his blessing to the reading of this portion of his word. There are some prayers that are prayers of worship, in which the child of God is thinking only about the perfection of his heavenly Father or the Savior. His heart responds to the revelation that God has given to him in the Word and through Jesus Christ. And he pours out his worship, his praise, his thanksgiving, his adoration, his love to God because of what God is. The prayer of worship is perhaps the highest kind of prayer in which the child of God can be engaged. For he is not thinking of himself and his needs, nor of others and their needs. He is thinking only of that which is the center of all heaven. That is the glory and the perfection that belongs to God. We saw in another study that there is a kind of prayer that we call the prayer of petition. And petition means to ask. And in this kind of praying, an individual thinks of his needs. And he asks God to meet that need. This kind of praying recognizes that God is able to meet our needs. This kind of praying looks at the need we have and recognizes those needs and then turns to God for help. Whether it be in the material or the physical or the spiritual realm, if we recognize a need and then ask God's help in that need, we are petitioning God. And God delights in an attitude of dependence upon Him that leads His child to ask Him for something that they know they need. We are coming tonight to consider a third type of praying, the prayer of intercession. And to intercede is to be a go-between. To be an intercessor is to be a go-between. And in order to teach this important lesson in prayer, our Lord told an interesting story. And from this story, we can learn certain important lessons about this matter of prayer. Night had come. It had gotten dark. As would have been the custom, the front gates to the home would have been securely barred so that no one could come in to disturb the peace. The family had retired for the night. They had spread their pallets out on the floor as they were accustomed to sleep, or in a niche in the side of the wall. And when all were safely tucked into bed, Father would extinguish the little oil lamp that was the one source of illumination. And darkness settled upon the home. They were prepared for a night's rest. Before they had fallen asleep, suddenly there is a banging at the front gate. And the father would leap up and he was excited by and aroused by this loud, insistent knocking at the front door. And So he went to the front gate. He wouldn't take the bars down because it might be a robber. So he would leave the gate securely barred, but he'd call through the gate, "Who's there?" And to his amazement, outside the gate was a friend who lived far away. He had had no news from this friend for a long time. He did not know the friend was coming. Had he known, he would have waited up and he would have had the house lit up so that he would feel welcome. But his friend had come unexpectedly. And he threw open the gate and he embraced his friend and he brought him in and he said to his friend, "What in the world are you doing here? And why have you come this time of night?" For you see, people didn't travel after dark. It was too dangerous. In the highways and byways of the land, there were too many recesses where robbers and murderers might hide who cared not for life and would destroy it to take the goods of the traveler. So they made certain, if at all possible, that they would be at an inn or a place of refuge, of safety and security when night fell so they could be protected. This man had been delayed in his journey. There was no inn along the way, and so he had pressed on in his way until he had come to the friend's home, and his host greeted him and said, "You must be exhausted after this long journey. What time did you start?" And you know, "I started at daybreak this morning." He said, "Not only am I tired, I'm hungry. Hungry." And how embarrassed the host would be. Because according to the record that our Lord told, the host knew there was nothing in the house with which to feed this guest. And I can just imagine he went back into the house and he got his wife up and he said to his wife, "Our dear friend has come and he hasn't eaten all day and he's hungry and we're obligated to give him something to eat." Because you see, according to the custom of the day, if a man invited another into his home, even though it was his worst enemy, he was obligated to feed him. That was the rule of hospitality. And so when the man came and aroused his wife and said, "We've got to feed this our dear friend," and she said, Now, darling, you know that I only bake enough bread for one day. And I only cook enough for one day." You see, the Frigidaire hadn't been invented yet. And there was no way of preserving food from one day to the next. And so a careful housewife would measure out the amount of food that her family would eat in one day. And she cooked just that amount, so there's nothing left over. Anything that had been left over after the evening meal would have been given to the family pet dog. And there was nothing in the house. No possibility of providing for this need. And yet the man said, we're obligated to feed him. And he said, "I know that in the home of my friend next door, there is food that they have set aside. And so I will go to my friend and I will intercede on behalf of this visiting friend before my neighbor." And so he put his robe around him and he put his sandals on his feet and he took his little oil lamp and he made his way to the neighbor's house and he began to bang on the door. And instead of his neighbor coming to welcome him in as he had welcomed his friend, the man cried out, "What do you want? Who are you?" He said, "I'm your neighbor." And he said, "I am in a most embarrassing situation. A dear friend has come, and he is ravenously hungry, and I have nothing to give him. And to use Dr. Deibler's expression, the friend said, tough beans. He said, I couldn't care less. That's your worry, not mine. He came to you. You're responsible to feed him. If he had come to me, I would have fed him, but he didn't. Now, you look after him, and don't bother me. We've already retired. Now, a lot of us, with a rebuff like that, would have turned around and gone home. Or would have gone to seek out another neighbor. But not this man. He kept on knocking and kept on knocking and kept on knocking until that man who had the food inside became so exasperated he said to his wife, we've got to get up and give him something to shut him up. And he kept on knocking until he had something in his hands that he could take home. And he took it home. And it was put on the table. And the hungry guest sat down and was satisfied. Now, that's the revised version of what we find in this story that our Lord told in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 to 10. But in this simple story, I find some very important teaching concerning prayer. First of all, we find the traveler in need. The man has a need. He has nothing with which he can meet his need. He has no food in his knapsack. And so he asks for help. And he asks for help from a man who cannot meet that need. So that the need is made known to a friend. The need is made known to a friend as he asks his host to provide an evening meal. The friend recognized a responsibility to meet the need of the traveler. And when he is not able to meet that need, he sought out someone who could meet the need. The host who went to the neighbor to beg for food to feed the hungry man is not asking for himself. He didn't have the need. He's asking for someone else who had the need. And when the man refused to give, he did not take no for an answer, but he kept on asking. Let me read verse 8. Though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as much as he needeth. And we have missed the lesson that our Lord intended because of this English word, importunity. I won't ask you for a show of hands. I've done this at seminary, so I know the result. 9 out of 10 of you don't know what the word importunity means, and that's the key word. How can you learn the lesson when you don't know the key word? And the word importunity means continued asking or repetition. Let me read it that way, and it'll make good sense. Though he will not rise and give him because of his friend, yet because of his repeated or insistent asking, he will rise and give him as many as he needed. Now, thus far, our Lord has given us a picture of what an intercessor is. An intercessor is a man who knows the need of another. And he knows one who can meet that need. So he prays on behalf of the need to the one who can meet the need. And the one who can meet the need supplies the need because he asks. The intercessor is a go-between. And he reaches out and takes hold of the man in need and takes hold of the one who can meet the need and he brings them together. He isn't asking for himself. He's asking for somebody else. He had a right, or he had, let me put it this way, he had a responsibility to be an intercessor because he knew the need. And the very moment you know another man's need, you have a responsibility to go to the one whom you know can meet that need and ask God to meet it. To know the need is to assume a responsibility. All right, so you know the man's need. Who are you going to go to have that need met? This man in the story went to his friend. He had a right to go to his neighbor because his neighbor was his friend. He was on good terms with his neighbor. And so he went to him as friend to friend. When you know a man has a need, you, a child of God, can go to your father and ask your father to meet the need of this needy one because of your relationship to the father. This one who has the need may be unsaved, and he has no ability and no right to come and ask God to meet his needs himself. But because you know the Father, and you know the man in need, you can bring the two together as you do the work of interceding. That's a simple lesson, isn't it? But it is one of the profoundest truths about prayer. I know a man's need, therefore I'm responsible to represent him before the one who can meet his need, and I have the right to represent him before the one who can meet his need because I'm his child. That's the foundation of intercessory prayer. But I come back to that word, insistent asking. And our Lord is teaching this second important truth about prayer. Because he would not take no for an answer to his first request, because there was delay in the meeting of the need, did not give him the right to cease praying, but he kept on asking. He had not completed his responsibility by asking God once. His responsibility to the man in need was not discharged until the man's need was met. And as long as that need persisted, he was to persist in prayer to God. Only when God had met the need did he have a right to cease to pray. And in order to teach that, our Lord said in verse 9 and 10, and I want to read this literally so you get the point. I say unto you, keep on asking, and it shall be given you. Keep on seeking, and ye shall find. Keep on knocking, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that keeps on asking, receiveth. And he that keeps on seeking, findeth. And to him that keeps on knocking, it shall be opened. When I know a need, and therefore am responsible to intercede for that need, how long should I continue to pray? And our Lord said, keep on and keep on and keep on until that need is met. May I read in James chapter 4 and verse 2. And James teaches us the same truth. I'll read just the last portion of the verse. Ye have not, because ye ask not. or you have not because you do not keep on asking. You see, when we ask just once and stop praying, we in effect are telling God when God has to answer. And God will answer in His own time. Therefore, he says, don't tell God he has to answer immediately. That may not be his plan. But keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And in so doing, you will be a faithful intercessor. You see, worship is Godward. Petition is selfward. But intercession is directed toward the needs of others. And these three types of prayer bring us the full scope of our praying. We worship, we ask for ourselves, and we intercede for others. I think it would be well when we are praying to make it a point of including all three kinds of prayer in our season of prayer. That's a way to have a well-balanced prayer life. If we are concerned only with petition, we are essentially selfish, thinking about ourselves. If we think only of the needs of others, we're not worshiping. And so, to pray completely, to pray fully, we'll worship, we'll petition, and we'll intercede. May God teach us to pray. We ask our Father that the Spirit of God may teach this profound and yet simple lesson to each one here, from the youngest to the oldest, that we might be occupied in praying with the person of our Father and His Son, that we might recognize our own needs and register our dependence for those needs. That we might reach out to others and their need and bring those in need together with the one who can meet that need. Lord, above all, teach us persistence and patience in prayer, that we keep on asking and seeking and knocking, that our prayers might be answered to Thy glory. Dismiss us now with the riches of Thy grace and mercy and peace upon us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.